Welcome to Oblivion Agenda. My name is Mike Adams, and you're watching the Oblivion Agenda conference series. You can see all the videos at oblivionagenda.com. This video is brought to you by censored.news, which is a compilation of all the most censored news websites, independent media, all in one place with real-time headlines. Check out censored.news to stay informed. All right, getting right into it here. NASA is sending a helicopter to Mars in the year 2020, next year, with the Mars rover launch. Now, this helicopter is called Scout, and it's openly endorsed. It's admitted by NASA Administrator Bridenstine, I think is his name. And this helicopter is a dual rotor helicopter. And in fact, there are pictures of this helicopter, and this is all in the media. I'm not making this up. This is actually widely reported that this helicopter is going to be sent to Mars. Now, what's wrong with this explanation that NASA is sending a helicopter to Mars? What's missing in this puzzle, right? The answer should be obvious to anyone who understands anything about flight, because according to NASA, Mars has virtually no atmosphere. In fact, according to NASA, Mars has 0.6% the atmospheric density of Earth, at least at ground level. Mars, the average atmosphere pressure is only 600 pascals compared to 101,000 pascals for Earth at sea level. So Mars has virtually no atmosphere, but it still has 38% of Earth's gravity. So it's almost 40% of Earth's gravity. Now, if you know anything about flight dynamics or helicopters or airplanes or wings, you know that helicopters don't fly without air. Because if they could, you would have helicopters propelling vehicles in outer space, right? And we don't have that. You don't have a propeller on the front of the space shuttle, as this image depicts right here. So the reason I bring this up is because you are being lied to constantly by the scientific establishment, even by NASA. Now, NASA thinks you're so stupid that you might believe that a helicopter could work on Mars. Oh, and by the way, this helicopter is going to be solar-powered. A solar-powered helicopter on Mars, a planet that has virtually no atmosphere and relatively little sunlight compared to Earth. We still don't see solar-powered helicopters on Earth, do we? And the answer is simple, because a solar panel mounted on a helicopter can't collect enough energy to power that helicopter, especially if you have no atmosphere where propellers don't work anyway. And by the way, the density altitude, as it's called, of the Mars atmosphere is equivalent to Earth's atmosphere at an altitude of 35 kilometers, which is about 115,000 feet. Now, have you ever seen a helicopter flying at 115,000 feet on Earth? No. In fact, helicopters usually fly at something less than 3,000 feet or even 2,500. That's because helicopters have a hard time at high altitude. Sometimes they do helicopter rescues in mountainous regions where there are snowboarders and skiers and so on. And those helicopters have a very difficult time above a certain altitude. None of them reach 115,000 feet. There are no helicopters that fly at 115,000 feet, which means NASA is lying to us. But here we go. Here's the future NASA breakthrough spacecraft, a space shuttle with a propeller hat. Maybe this is how NASA wants us to believe it's going to explore future planets. Oh, also, by the way, we got a hold of a photo of the upcoming NASA Mars Habitat module, which I'll show you right here. This is obviously exotic technology that's going to take advantage of the atmosphere that must be on Mars if they're going to fly helicopters. And yeah, I mean, look, NASA, they're either lying to us about the atmosphere, maybe there is a lot more atmosphere than has been reported, or they're wasting millions of dollars of taxpayer money to send a helicopter to a planet that has virtually no atmosphere. So which is it? Well, I guess one day we'll find out, but the truth is NASA is lying to you one way or another. They refuse to tell you the truth. They don't want you to know that Mars is probably a planet that let's say, possibly has living systems on the surface right now. Maybe simple life forms, maybe bacteria, maybe liquid water during certain times of the Mars year. But they don't want to admit any of that because that would support the obvious nature of the fact that Mars has life right now, and that would throw the whole thing for a curve. NASA wants you to believe that there is no life in the universe, which is absurd. All right, now, what does all this have to do with the Oblivion agenda? Now, for background, let's talk about the Oblivion movie. It's a science fiction movie starring Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman. It's a really great movie, and this movie, some of the backstory of the movie really parallels with what I believe is actually happening with Earth right now, which is why this is called the Oblivion Agenda, this lecture series. But just because something is science fiction doesn't mean it's science fact. But there are truths found in narrative and in metaphors that can help educate us about what's really happening. So let me start with a quick explanation of the movie Oblivion with Tom Cruise. And this is a great movie. I strongly recommend that you go watch this movie, because in the movie, Earth's resources are being siphoned off by an alien invading force that has already conquered much of the Earth and has already destroyed much of the planet. And this alien invading intelligence is actually powered by an AI system. It's all AI. You don't see any alien biologicals in this movie. The biologicals may be far away on their home planet, and they sent these AI systems to Earth in order to siphon off Earth resources such as ocean water and minerals and so on. And in this movie, the character played by Tom Cruise believes that he is part of a rescue mission to rescue humans off of this destroyed planet, to go colonize a moon of Saturn, I think. I don't remember which moon it was. It was an outer planet moon where humans were going to be settling. And the job of the Tom Cruise character is to protect the harvesting machines that are harvesting the ocean water so that humans can live on a moon elsewhere in the solar system. And Tom Cruise, his character believes, he's given an artificial history, and he believes that what are really surviving humans on planet Earth, who are actually part of the resistance to stop the aliens, the Tom Cruise character believes that those are not human and that they have to be hunted down and killed at every opportunity. And he, Tom Cruise character, there are mental prisons built around his mind that don't allow him to venture out to explore things because his ship display says, oh, it's a radiation zone. Don't go into the radiation zone. Don't explore your own planet. Don't learn what you really are. And as it turns out that the Tom Cruise character is actually a clone, and there are thousands of such clones, thousands of Tom Cruise characters all over the planet, and each one is responsible for guarding a certain sector, eliminating humans, protecting the interests of the alien AI systems, and never learning the truth about who they are because they're memory wiped, they're given artificial new memories, and they are prevented from venturing out into the so-called radiation zones. So what's important about this film is that humans are taught an alternative history in order to imprison their minds. Those who are trying to save humanity are considered the enemies and are hunted down and exterminated. And that a non-Earth intelligent civilization does desire planet Earth and its resources, including ocean water and minerals and perhaps some other things, perhaps some biological specimens, who knows. So this movie is, even though it's a fictional movie, there are elements of it that I believe may be true. And that's what I'm going to present to you here in Oblivion Agenda. And really, I want to underscore the idea that modern humans are, in the real world, they are assisting this effort to destroy our planet or to depopulate our planet to create what I call a post-human era. And humans have been convinced to go along with that because they believe they are saving our planet. So I want to be clear. A lot of the individual human beings who are pushing these agendas to exterminate humanity, to terraform the planet, to dim the sun, to pollute the skies, all these things, those human beings are not aware of the bigger agenda. Most of them are not. A few at the top are, but most of them are not. So I'm not claiming that every person who promotes, for example, mass global abortion genocide is somehow aware that they're part of some conspiracy with aliens or something like that. They have no idea what they're actually doing. They are exterminating human beings. They are working on depopulating the planet, but they don't know why. They don't know who's behind it, because there is, of course, compartmentalization in this agenda, like there is in every grand conspiracy. Certain people at the top know everything, but one layer down, a lot of people don't know the truth about what's happening. And, you know, you go down lower and lower in the power structure, and those people know nothing about what's actually happening. Now, finally, before we really dive into this, I want you to know that what I'm going to be presenting here is all rooted in science, real accepted mainstream science, and reasoning and deduction. So nothing that I'm going to present here requires you to believe in psychic energy, which, I mean, that's another debate, another discussion, but that's not part of what I'm going to present to you here. Perhaps you believe in remote viewing or even mother-child intuition, which seems to be real, but that's not part of what this discussion is. This does not require interdimensional travel. I'm not going to talk about beings from other dimensions. I'm going to show you how our cosmos works just using technology and science in the world that we can already observe, or I should say the cosmos we can already observe. We're not talking about interdimensional wormholes to other dimensions, things like that. None of this requires belief in magic. In fact, I'm going to present to you evidence of science, which may be indistinguishable from magic, but it is still based on the laws of physics. For example, in this presentation, I'll describe to you how alien ships may appear to teleport magically by blipping out from one location and reappearing in another location. But they're actually not teleporting. They are using faster-than-light drives, and which can actually, by the way, move you 30 kilometers in 1/1,000,000th of a second, creating the appearance of teleportation when it's actually just the bending of space-time. So we'll talk about that. And finally, this whole discussion does not depend in any way on anyone having godlike powers. So this isn't the Avengers. There's not a Thor character in this explanation, you know, some god of the Norse god with a magic hammer that can strike lightning bolts down from the sky and fly around. There's none of that. This is not a superhero movie. I'm talking about physical reality, the laws of physics, real science, cosmic science, and things that are possible, that we already know are possible, using the laws of science and physics, and frankly, the table of elements, which we'll talk about here. So again, you don't have to believe, you don't even have to consider psychic energy, interdimensional travel, ghosts, magic, black magic, voodoo, or even godlike powers. I'm not even going to talk about God and a divine being in this explanation. I've talked about God elsewhere and, you know, origins of the universe and so on. Where did the Big Bang come from? But that's not part of this discussion. This discussion is all consistent with the laws of physics and science as we know them. Okay, a little bit of background just about who I am so you know perhaps where I'm coming from. And I'll keep this short. I'm not trying to bore you. This is not about me. I just want to provide a little bit of context. I run multiple mass spec instruments every day in a multi-million dollar science lab that is ISO accredited. I'm a published scientist in peer-reviewed science journals. I'm co-author of a paper, for example, on the quantitation of cannabinoids and hemp extracts using mass spectrometry. I've developed multiple scientific quantitation methods for different analytes, including now a glyphosate method that's going to be published in another science journal. I'm the patent holder of two patents, one of them called Cesium Eliminator. You can see these patents, by the way, in the U.S. Patent Office or a patent search engine. A cesium eliminator is one. The other one's called heavy metals defense. Cesium eliminator describes a patent, an invention that allows you to remove radioactive cesium isotopes from your digestive tract by using dietary supplements that achieve this specific purpose. And specifically, this is about removing cesium-137, which is a very dangerous radioisotope associated with the aftermath of nuclear wars and nuclear disasters. It can be present in water and milk and food, and I know how to eliminate that from your body. In fact, that's what the patent describes. You can read it yourself. It's actually very simple. It just took a long time to to discover the right substances that achieve that. So I'm the author of a number one best-selling science book on Amazon. It's called Food Forensics. You can see that book. You can download it, the first chapter of it at foodforensics.com. And in that book, we share the results of ICP-MS heavy metals testing for over 800 foods, supplements, pet foods, spices, superfoods, you know, things like that. So we've done testing, heavy metals testing, for thousands, many thousands of food items. There is currently no other scientist alive in the world who has done more heavy metals testing of foods and supplements than I have. When it comes to heavy metals and, you know, elemental testing of off-the-shelf products, I am the leading world authority on this subject. There's no one else who's done as much testing and published as much information on it. It's a narrow field, but, you know, we're all experts at something. That happens to be where I focus my expertise. Finally, I'm the publisher of science.news. But the real way that you know that I have credibility is that I am banned everywhere for daring to talk about science outside the mainstream. So I've been banned and deplatformed by Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, probably Vimeo as well, that's right, and many others, many platforms have banned all of my information because I dare to talk about the mercury content of flu shots that are given to children. And the way I know there's mercury in flu shots is because I tested them on my ICP-MS mass spec instrument, and we found over 50,000 parts per billion of mercury, which, by the way, is 25,000 times the upper limit of mercury that's allowable in drinking water, according to EPA regulations. So the minute I start examining the physical constituents of things like vaccines, I get banned. You know, so if you talk about pesticides, if you talk about mercury in vaccines, if you talk about, well, if you say things like the speed of light is not a constant, which I'll explain, by the way, it isn't. It's not a constant. It actually moves around. When you say those kinds of things, you get banned. Because remember, they want to build mental prisons so that you don't step outside those prisons. But all I'm doing really is looking at the composition from an elemental level of what's in things. What's in this flu shot? Turns out a lot of mercury is in it. You know, what's in this superfood? We test cacao nibs. We test turmeric powder. We test maca root powder and off-the-shelf foods and so on. We look at organic molecules such as pesticides and herbicides. And we also look at inorganic atomic elements such as lead, cadmium, arsenic, you know, mercury, things like that. And when I report these results, I get banned everywhere. So science is not allowed in the scientific establishment if it doesn't fit their narrative. And more importantly, they don't bother banning people who make no sense. That's important. The reason they ban me is because my information is compelling to millions of people. They find that it resonates with what they understand, and they find they learn new things. And that's my goal here with this presentation. So anyway, enough about me, except one last thing. My real motivation in all of this is very simple. All I hope to do is to teach humanity to save itself. I want humanity to survive. I think humanity is worth saving. Is that a sin? You know, I mean, when you've got all these globalists like Bill Gates wants to depopulate the planet, and now Bernie Sanders is out there talking about how he wants a eugenics abortion program to really expand abortion in third world countries populated by people of color. And gosh, that sounds like white supremacy to me. He's out there like, let's abort the babies of color. Well, he didn't say it exactly that way, but that's what he means. And here I am saying, no, all humans have value. All people are conscious beings and deserve a chance at life. And yet I'm banned. I'm the bad guy because I want to save humanity while all these globalists want to destroy humanity. And if you don't go along with this agenda to destroy humanity, you will be censored. You will be shamed. You'll be mocked. You'll be slandered, you'll be defamed, you'll be lied about. All of us who are, you know, independent thinkers, Rupert Sheldrake, for example, you know, all of us who are independent thinkers, we are all banned and censored today. In fact, I mean, if you think about all the great scientists throughout history, even Einstein, if social media existed in the day of Einstein, he would have been mocked like crazy. He would have been banned because, you know, think about what Einstein said, the theory of relativity. that space-time is not a constant, that it can be bent, that objects that are accelerated toward the speed of light gain mass. These ideas would have been considered ludicrous back in the early 1900s. Einstein would have been banned. Thank God we didn't have Facebook in the day of Einstein. Thank God you could have revolutions in thinking. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm an Einstein, not by any stretch, but that Einstein inspires many of us of lesser intellect than him to explore new ideas and to gain new understanding about the universe. I'm inspired by Einstein. He is a thought leader of our civilization, and we should take his gifts seriously and continue to operate with that, you know, that inspiration that it's okay to think outside the box. All right, one more thing. I don't have all the answers to all this information here. What I'm presenting is what I've found so far. And also, I don't normally circulate in conferences and circles that talk about UFOs or extraterrestrial life or things like that. So I haven't read much information from other authors in this area. What I'm about to present to you is information that I have discovered or stumbled across, let's say developed myself for the most part. I have read books by Jim Mars. I have looked at information from Steve Quayle, but I don't have a library of books about UFOs and life beyond Earth and things like that. I'm not even familiar with the other speakers at this conference that I'm about to speak at. Although I look forward to hearing what they have to say, but I'm not familiar with their work. So the ideas that I'm about to present here are ideas that I have developed based on my own scientific observations and reasoning and deduction. And that's it. There's very little outside influence from other sort of UFO researchers that would come into this presentation that you're about to see. For that reason, as a disclaimer, I do want to say right now, if I say something that sounds similar to somebody else, I didn't steal it. It is possible to come to the same conclusions. Also, if I say something that contradicts somebody else, some famous author out there right now, I'm not attacking them. I probably don't even know who they are, and I've never read their books. So every time that I do some kind of big public presentation, there's always somebody that goes crazy and accuses me of stealing some component or attacking somebody. None of that is going on here. I'm just sharing with you things that I've observed and things that I've concluded on my own. And none of this is taken from anybody else. That's probably why you'll find it to be so unique, a very fresh look at all of these topics, very different. But also, it may contradict some people who are well-respected in the UFO community. It might contradict what they're saying. Okay, it's not a personal attack, I promise you. I'm not saying that I'm the only one who's got any answers here, not by a long shot. I've got a lot to learn. This is just the beginning of what I've discovered so far. In fact, I encourage any corrections, any suggestions, additional reading that you might suggest, or maybe things that you think I should take a look at or other people that I should take a look at as I continue to explore this topic. And you can email me at the following address, oblivionagenda@protonmail.com. I look forward to your feedback. And by the way, this presentation is going to be expanded into a book. So, could be interesting to see where this goes. All right, finally, here's the Oblivion Agenda overview in a nutshell. The overview is that non-Earth entities have claimed Earth for themselves, and they've convinced Earthlings to terraform the planet to eliminate humans, i.e. depopulation, and prepare planet Earth for what I call a post-human era. That's it. That's the premise of this entire talk. Now, that might sound pretty fantastic, but I'm going to present to you evidence that strongly supports this. Again, scientific evidence that supports this. And I think by the end of this, you will at least consider that idea is not so outlandish after all. In fact, a lot of what's happening is very consistent with that. As part of that, it's important to understand that some Earthlings, humans, are cooperating with this agenda knowingly, very few, but most people are going along with it unknowingly. People who are just pushing, for example, the global warming climate change agenda, which I'll explain here shortly. That's an agenda to terraform the atmosphere and alter planet Earth to make it inhospitable to human life. I'm going to get into that in great detail. But I'm not saying that everybody who promotes global warming is working for aliens or something like that. Most people have no idea what's really behind all of this. It's all, again, compartmentalization. It's a need-to-know basis. Most people are just going along with whatever's popular. You know, most people are just obedient sheeple, so they just do whatever they're told to do. Now, when you hear a premise like this, you might think, okay, you're going to have to prove this to me. And you should be thinking that. And that's what every intelligent person should be thinking. After all, it's a fantastic idea. And a really fantastic idea must require extraordinary proof. This is one of the basic tenets of science. So in this presentation, I'm going to demonstrate three things to you. And I want you to hold your skepticism. I want you to think through this entire process. I want you to challenge all this in your mind and maybe do your own additional research as well. But I'm going to prove to you three things. Number one, which is easily provable, depopulation of humans is already underway. That's already proven. I mean, again, Bernie Sanders openly advocated that in a recent Democrat debate. Bill Gates talks about it all the time. And in fact, this is openly talked about all across the mainstream media. Now, you've got, you know, liberals, left-wing people talking about how you're going to have to start eating other humans. Cannibalism is being pushed now pretty aggressively in the mainstream media, the left-wing media. And you've got, you know, liberals saying there are too many humans, we have to depopulate the planet. So there's no debate that that is being aggressively pushed now. It wasn't 5 years ago, but now it's out in the open. So point number one, hopefully you can accept that that's already done. Depopulation is underway. Point number two, exobiologicals, that is non-Earth biological entities, have a strong universal motive to eliminate humans and to acquire our planet. What that's proposing is that Earth has value to non-Earth entities far beyond any value of Earthlings. In other words, human beings have essentially no value, but our planet has tremendous value to other intelligent civilizations for reasons that have everything to do with the cosmic economics of energy systems, of life support, transportation, real estate location in the Milky Way galaxy, as well as the location of the Milky Way in all the galaxies of our known universe, and so on. Earth's orbital distance from the sun that puts it in the green zone for life, for liquid water, to support carbon-based life forms. Earth has value. I'm going to go into those reasons, and that will be easy convincing, I think. Once you see what Earth has that's so special, even on a cosmic scale, you'll understand that Earth has value. Yes, Earth has value even beyond human beings. If there were no humans alive on Earth today, the planet itself would have tremendous value anyway. So I don't think that's going to be very hard to accept as a premise, and I'll cover that in detail. The third point I'll be proposing is that the galaxy is actually smaller than you think in the sense that faster than light travel technology is commonplace. FTL, as we call it. Now, it's widespread, I believe, and it is a common technology that's used by many different non-Earth intelligent civilizations, and it's entirely consistent with the laws of physics to travel faster than the speed of light. It does not violate the laws of physics. It does not actually move you faster than the speed of light in your own bubble of warped time-space, which I'll explain. So it doesn't violate Einstein's laws of relativity and so on. So the fact that this technology exists, or at least that's my proposal, you can decide whether to believe it or not, means that traveling from star to star system in our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is very easy for many different non-Earth species or intelligent civilizations. And as a result, we are being observed. We have been visited. We are part of we're probably treated like a curiosity, like maybe zoo animals in a galactic economy that includes energy harvesting, energy expenditure, consumption, trade, you know, commerce, all these things, which I'll explain in this presentation. But FTL drive technology, which is a warp bubble drive tech, that is confirmed by modern Earth scientists, by the way, confirmed it's theoretically possible. We know what can power it. We know how antimatter systems could possibly work to make this a reality. And we're not even as advanced as other civilizations that have been around millions more years than Earth. So they've developed technology far beyond us, and faster than light travel is probably as commonplace in the cosmos as, let's say, you know, a Honda Civic is on Earth today. It's a very common technology, and I'll explain how it works to the best of our knowledge. Now, I understand, in summary, these three things that I mentioned here. Number one, that depopulation of humans is underway. Number two, that non-Earth entities have a universal motive to eliminate humans and acquire our planet. And number three, the galaxy is small because faster-than-light technology is ubiquitous. These three things might be an increasing skepticism among those three. Like, yeah, you can believe depopulation is underway. You might believe that non-Earth entities would value our planet. I hope that's obvious. But you might be skeptical about the faster-than-light technology. You're like, what is this, Star Wars? You're going to show us the Millennium Falcon footage, the warp drive or light speed or whatever it is. No, I'm going to go into a more in-depth discussion of physics and the nature of space-time in order to explain that to you. But I invite you to be skeptical until I get to that part. It's okay to not believe it until we get there, and then even then, it's up to you. All right, so we'll begin with the depopulation agenda explanation when we continue in the next segment of this video series, Oblivion Agenda. This video is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. Yes, we do need to have funding to continue to bring you this information and post these videos for free, and to produce videos and do all the things that we do as publishers and explorers of our world. HealthRangerStore.com, you know how I mentioned all the lab tests that I do and the patents and everything? Well, HealthRangerStore.com, we sell over 700 products, including superfoods, storable foods, and supplements, and they're all tested in my lab. We are known as specialists in clean food, clean supplements, and clean home care and personal care products. We have the cleanest, most heavily scrutinized products in the world. Everything from non-GMO vitamin C to completely fragrance-free deodorant and soap and dishwashing detergent, laundry detergent, and of course all kinds of superfoods and even storable foods such as certified organic, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, and frankly, organic storable food buckets for, you know, SHTF scenarios, you know, collapse scenarios, survival scenarios, things like that. The bottom line, if you want clean food and clean supplements, shop at healthrangerstore.com, and that helps support our mission so we can keep bringing you this information. So continue with the next video at oblivionagenda.com. Thank you for watching. Most of the health products and supplements that you buy at Amazon or Whole Foods or grocery stores are never tested for glyphosate, pesticides, heavy metals, or even microbiology. At our store, healthrangerstore.com, we test everything we sell. We offer the cleanest, lab-verified products sold anywhere in the world. Healthrangerstore.com, over 700 products for health and home, all laboratory-validated and tested for your safety. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com.